much for tuning in, and I will speak to you next week.
You are listening.
Local voices since 1963. This is CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Generous support to CKUW 95.9 FM is provided by Diversity Food Services. Diversity is a social enterprise committed to a just and fair food economy in Winnipeg. Elements Restaurant at 501 Portage Avenue is a proud part of Diversity Food Services family, a full-service, licensed sit-down restaurant with easy access right off of Portage Avenue.
What do you read, my lord?
Words. Words. Words.
Good morning. I'm Susan Hubert, and this is Bookworm on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, the show where I talk mainly about books that I have reviewed, I interview authors, and sometimes just talk about the books. But either way, this is a chance for you to find out more about what's available in the book world. Good morning and welcome to the show for today, Tuesday, February 3rd, 2026. And as you remember, last week I talked about how it was Mozart's birthday, and I don't know whose birthday it is today, but I hope you enjoyed listening to music by Mozart last week and celebrating his birthday with him. So today I have an interview that I was going to play last week, but didn't manage to get it technically, or didn't manage the technical aspect of it. But today I hope I'll be able to play it, and then I'll probably be talking about another book. And so I hope you'll stay tuned for that. But I'll start with a little bit of news first. So according to CBC, prosecutors in London, Ontario, leveled additional charges against four people yesterday in an ongoing case involving students or alumni of Western University. The accused have been charged with storing chemicals that could be turned into explosives and various other charges, including the possession of illegal weapons. The additional charges also include manufacturing a gun. Then in international news, according to Al Jazeera, Israel opened the Rafah crossing between Gaza and Egypt yesterday to allow people through on foot, although humanitarian aid and construction materials are still not allowed. The crossing has been closed for most of the last 2 years, and after the Israelis closed the border crossing in May 2024. Approximately 22,000 Palestinians have been waiting for a chance to go abroad for medical treatment. Egypt and the European Union have also been involved in the effort to open the border. So that's the news for today. Then in weather, according to the weather from the Winnipeg Richardson International Airport, this is from the Forks. So for today, Tuesday, February 3rd, the forecast is -9 with periods of light snow. Then tonight, -14 with periods of light snow. Then Wednesday, February 4th, -5 degrees with a 30% chance of light snow. And overnight, -1 degree with cloudy periods. Then on Thursday, February 5th, 3 degrees with a mix of sun and cloud, then overnight, -10 with cloudy periods. For Friday, February 6th, -9 degrees and sunny, then overnight, -10 with cloudy periods. So that's the weather for now. And next in events, it's time now for CQW's event guide. From concert and club listings to community announcements, we help you keep in touch with what's going on in Winnipeg. So the first one here I've talked about quite often, Community 204 Walks. And that's every Friday at 5:30 p.m. Meet at 605 Main Street. Items needed are water bottles, snacks, and sandwiches. So if you'd like to walk and see the neighborhood and hand out some necessities of life to people, join them at Community 204 Walks every Friday at 5:30 p.m. at 605 Main Street. And then there's Stars on Ice 2026 Tour, which is on May 6th, and tickets went on sale on November 21st. So Canada's top Olympic hopefuls join icon Elvis Stoico for a must-see tour directed by Kurt Browning. So those are a few of the events listed in the guide. If you'd like to have your event listed as well, please drop by CQW, email us at cqw@uwinnipeg.ca, or call 204-786-9782. Now I'll see if I can get this I'll see if I can get my recording going here. So this is a recording with Scott Moyer, who's a composer or a writer and a playwright and a writer who has written something about it's called The Bellefontaine Bridegroom. Thank you very much for joining me.
Well, thanks for having me.
And could you talk a little bit about the work that you do in general and about your new project?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Yeah, I am a playwright and an author here in Manitoba from Steinbeck. And so we've got a new show that is coming to Winnipeg at the end of February. It's called The Bellefontaine Bridegroom. And it's being put on by Looking Glass Theatre out of Steinbeck here, but we also go to Winnipeg. The play is going to be coming to the city on February 28th. It's going to be at the Rachel Brown Theater at 7 o'clock p.m., and you can get your tickets at lookingglasstheater.ca. And the play is basically a surrealist, absurdist tragicomedy, sort of in the style of, if you think about Waiting for Godot or Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead, sort of a strange, surreal buddy comedy based on the myth of Pygmalion and Galatea from Greek myth. The idea being you have Pygmalion, who's a sculptor, and he sculpts a statue of the perfect woman, and then she comes to life. The play takes place, many thousands of years later, and now it's sort of 1964. They've been together for so long, all the first rush of romance has worn off, and now they're just sort of an old married couple. They know the ruts, they know the struggles. They're not super happy to be together, but they are together. And things take sort of a strange and disturbing turn when a stranger named Jacqueline Bellefontaine shows up, and then shortly after her, a detective inspector named Belloc also turns up at the strange happenings in their home one afternoon. It's a really fantastic young cast who are putting it on, and we're excited because the paperback of the play as a book will be available, signed copies available for purchase at the theater on the 28th.
Well, that sounds very good. And can you tell me where you got the idea for this project?
Yeah, well, there's a story, and it's actually referenced a few times in the play, but there's a true story. There was a guy, I think he was a rubber sort of merchant in St. Louis around the turn of the century, and he fell in love with a woman while he was overseas in Italy, a sculptor's model. He saw her, she thought she was beautiful, proposed marriage to her, she turned him down, but he had the sculptor make a statue of her so that he could bring it back home and kind of always have her with him. The trouble was, when he got back home, he remembered that he was already married to a wife, so when he proposed to her, he was already married, and now he had the statue of the woman in his home. And so eventually, when he died, he was buried in a place called Bellefontaine Cemetery in St. Louis, and the statue is now out there by his grave with him. It's in a shadow box, this kind of big glass container, and she's there. They call her Bessie. And so this idea of sort of a man falling in love with a statue, with an ideal rather than with a real person, was really interesting, and just the idea of using that structure, and then obviously the myth, which is sort of the same story, a man falls in love with what he has created, with this idea, with this ideal, rather than anything real, and sort of exploring, well, when our ideals are challenged, whether they are, a relationship, the idea of an ideal man or woman, or religious or political, whatever our ideals are, when they're threatened, kind of what lengths are you willing to go to in order to defend them and hold on to them? And in the case of our main character from our play, quite an extreme length, it turns out, and that's sort of the drama and the comedy of the piece.
And is it aimed at a particular audience or just a general audience?
Yeah, it's a general audience piece, so it's sort of absurdist tragicomedy. So if anybody's sort of familiar with, you know, Samuel Beckett or people like that who do, you know, a play like Waiting for Godot would be a good comparison. So if you enjoy comedy, there's a lot of that. It is an adult show. There's a good bit of innuendo and things like that. But yeah, it's an absurdist piece. It's for everybody. It's really funny. It's quite dramatic in places, and the cast are really fantastic. Great, all local actors putting it on.
Well, that sounds very interesting. And can you tell me a little bit more about the idealism that you were talking about earlier?
Yeah, so it's sort of, you know, it's the sense of the main character, we have Pygmalion, or we call him Picky, because, you know, 1964, so he's Picky and Galatea is Ticky. Picky has this sense, I think, that, you know, the myth is he doesn't really like real people, he doesn't really like real women, and so he decides he's going to sculpt one himself, and then she's sort of magically, miraculously brought to life, and they end up living this long, happy life together. But of course, he always knows, and at some level also she always knows, that she's not real, she's something else. And I think we all often have those things throughout life when we have these sort of things like that that get challenged throughout our lives, and once they're sort of challenged or stretched a bit, we then have to decide, well, is that something we're going to let go, or is that something that we're going to hold on to, you know, against all the evidence to the contrary, or against what other people are saying? Maybe there's something which is a better idea, a better fit, but are you going to hold on to something just because it's yours? And that's really the decision that Piggy struggles with in this play, when other people come into his life and sort of show him other possibilities for what it could be, and what's he going to do with that once it presents itself.
Sounds like it could be very interesting for many people. And can you talk about the process of how you came up with the idea and the kind of research that you did and anything else that you might want to say in that regard?
Well, sure. I mean, I've loved the work of, you know, the absurdist playwrights. So you think of Tom Stoppard or Harold Pinter or Samuel Beckett, these people kind of writing in the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, where, you know, they're using language, but they're also using really sort of stark imagery. So the thing which really came first for me, as it did for I think a lot of those writers, was the image on stage of, you know, a rather normal suburban, almost Dick Van Dyke living room setup, but then in the middle of it you have, you know, a Greek statue in a big glass box who is now all of a sudden alive and speaking to you, and just this idea of the really kind of stark image came first, and that was quite exciting. And then as the story kind of started to spin out, the characters developed, and the thing that's really been fun about it is watching, because it's absurdist, and so that means basically that the language has a lot of room for interpretation, the action has a lot of room for interpretation, and so we've had a really good director, Mark A. Moyer, has come in to direct, and then watching these four actors find a lot of exciting things in the piece that maybe I didn't write in there in the first place. And I'll come to a rehearsal, I'll stop in every once in a while just to see how things are going, and to see them really finding character and making choices which are completely there in the words, but maybe I didn't intend them. That's been a really exciting thing. And I think it'll be exciting for other people to come and see on the 28th there at the Rachel Brown Theater.
And are you working on any similar kinds of projects at the moment, or anything completely new?
We've got I've got a couple of things on the go here and there. So there is another book, which will be a collection of short works, which will come out somewhere in the fall. And so that one, yeah, look for that one probably somewhere in September. That one will be published on Amazon, and it will be called Suddenly Another Fish. But other than that, there's a few projects on the go here and there, but that's all we've got right now.
So then that's the Bellefontaine Bridegroom. And is the book named the same as the play, or are there any variations?
OK, is the same as the play. And yes, yeah, signed copies will be available at the Rachel Brown on the 28th. And then after that, it will be available for purchase on Amazon.
Sounds good. And the play is February 28th at 7 p.m.
And right, the Rachel Brown Theater in Winnipeg.
And I think that's 211 Bannatyne, if I remember correctly. So.
Great. Yeah, you probably are right.
I'm not sure. Oh, that's right. So then, is there anything else you'd like to add?
I think that's pretty good for me.
And thank you very much for speaking with me. It was very good to hear from you.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And I hope it'll go well, and good luck on this play and on your future work as well.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. With your CKUW Friends card, you are supporting CKUW 95.9 FM and our friends in the community. 100% of your donations go to the general operations at CKUW 95.9 FM. And with a Friends card, your dollars will get you more at
the King Cobb Market Pub at 580 Ellis Avenue, your local arts and craft beer pub. With a rotating selection of local beer, art, music, and Southern-inspired pub eats, your 10% discount on all food and selected taps makes this West End neighborhood pub an ideal place to start, end, or even be your next night out. Be sure to check out their Bella Vista nights every Wednesday for free live music sponsored by CKUW 95.9 FM. Fiercely local.
Join CKUW's community of support by donating $35 during Fun Drive in February to get a Friends card and get access. More deals around Winnipeg.
So welcome back. Before the break there, that was Haydn's Symphony No. 26, the first section. And before that, there was an interview that I did with Scott Moyer, who's a playwright, and whose play will be on in Winnipeg on February 28th. And it's called The Bellefontaine Bridegroom, and it'll be at the Rachel Brown Theatre. So if you're interested in theatre, it's kind of an absurdist play from what he says. So if you're interested in that, be sure to check it out and go see it if you can. So now, I have another book to talk about. So then, this is called Manifesto on Never Giving Up by Bernardine Evaristo. That's Evaristo. So here's my review of that. Each person's life is a result of a variety of influences, from family life to careers and friendships, that can change the choices they make or leave them relatively unaltered. For Bernardine Evaristo, both positive and negative life experiences have led to her new outlook on life. In Manifesto on Never Giving Up, Evaristo describes and evaluates the importance of various influences on her choices in life and how they have led to a new recognition of both her family and other people she has come to know over the years. Evaristo won the Booker Prize for her best-selling 2019 novel Girl, Woman, and Other. Girl, Woman, Other. In addition to being a winner or finalist for awards such as the Women's Prize for Fiction. Her books include poetry, verse fiction, essays, literary criticism, and drama. She teaches creative writing at Brunel University in London and received an Order of the British Empire in 2020. Understanding the role that heritage plays in people's lives is key to Evaristo's memoir. She begins her examination of how she got to where she is now by considering how her ancestors have influenced her choices and responses to the situations she has encountered. Her book is divided into 7 sections, with themes such as heritage and family, the people who have come and gone in her life, drama and community, language, education, transformation, activism, and more. As the daughter of an Irish mother and Nigerian father living in Britain, Bernardine Evaristo has been an outsider from birth. Her heritage and early life had a profound influence on the direction she followed, including the contrasting parenting styles of her mother and father, and the challenges of being black in Britain. These and other experiences shaped the author's work, first in the theater and later in the field of writing. Although her father communicated very little of his Nigerian heritage to his children, Evaristo grew up very much aware of the challenges of being part of two races and two very different communities. This mixture of cultures is reflected at the beginning of each chapter, bearing a number translated into several languages, including Old English, Irish, Portuguese, and her father's language, Yoruba. Evaristo's heritage played a large part in her work in the theater, as she found ways of supporting her community through the arts. Meanwhile, she moved through a series of relationships that sometimes helped and sometimes hindered her personal and professional development. One relationship in particular was almost overwhelming, and in the end, Evaristo had to free herself from a domineering personality. Despite these experiences, or perhaps because of them, Evaristo was able to find her writing voice and to gain an understanding of herself and the people around her. Over time, she gained a better appreciation of herself and the influences on her life. The book ends with Evaristo's personal manifesto for living, among others, in society and for passing on knowledge to the next generation, while also acknowledging and remembering the people who came before us. Manifesto is an engaging, accessible book for anyone interested in the development of a writer's voice and understanding of the world. The author encountered a variety of difficult and stressful situations throughout her life, but the overall tone of the book is hopeful as she considers how far society has come, despite the work that still needs to be done. So that's Manifesto on Never Giving Up by Bernardine Evaristo. That's Bernardine, then the last name Evaristo, and that's published by Grove Press. And the interview that I did earlier and played earlier was with Scott Moyer, and that's the Bellefontaine bridegroom. And there is a book about a book detailing or about the story, but also a play coming up on February 28th at the Rachel Brown Theater in the Exchange District. So if you're interested in either of those, the book will be available there at the venue or also on Amazon. So be sure to check that out on February 28th and check out Manifesto on Never Giving Up by Bernardine Evaristo. And that's Grove Press and it's 224 pages. So I'm coming to the end of Bookworm for today, but I hope you'll stay tuned for Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman. And thanks for listening. Have a great day.
What do you read, my lord?
Words. Words.
Words.
This is the end of Bookworm on CQW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg for today, and I hope that you have been inspired to pick up a new book to read. Be sure to tune in next week for more discussions about books, and thanks for listening.
Join us in Wooden Spoons when we discuss topics of healthy living, environmental issues, and what goes on in the community. We talk to guests with a wide range of interests and also spend time sharing nutritional information and a healthy recipe. We're on every Friday morning from 8 to 9 a.m.
From Spence Street to the Perimeter Highway, this is CKUW 95.9 FM Winnipeg Community Radio.
CKUW is supported by the Yellow Dog Tavern, never participating in Burger Week. 386 Donald, closed on Sundays.
The Wrench is the Winnipeg Repair Education and Cycling Hub. Since 2010, The Wrench has used discarded bike parts collected from Winnipeg's 4R sites to educate our community in bike mechanics and keep us all on our bikes through access to bikes and bike repair. We work with dozens of schools throughout Winnipeg to offer Earn a Bike, an 8-week program for teens to learn to rebuild a bike from scratch and take it home with them at the end of program completion. Are you a teacher who wants to bring Earn a Bike to your school? Get in touch. Check out thewrench.ca and look for Earn a Bike. We can't wait to work with you.
Put this in your calendars, 95.9 FM, Mondays at 2, Sundays at 4. Groundswell Radio, the best new contemporary concert music from Winnipeg and around the world.